Well, it is good to see everybody tonight. We've had a very beneficial and good business meeting this afternoon. We'll try to be putting in the bulletin things that we voted on and decided on in the next week or two. We'll let everybody know the things that are going on and happening. We do have a lot of things we have decided on. We are going to try to have a couple of guest speakers for the Randy Baker. We're going to try to have Randy come and talk to us about the work in Nigeria that we've been supporting now for some time. And also have Brother Bill Rayburn come talk about the work in the Philippines. We've been supporting a young man this last year who was in the preaching school over there. And also we supported a young lady in the orphanage, and we're very happy to find out that she obeyed the gospel this past year. Her grades have been fine. She has been doing very well. I believe they said she won the chess championship in the school and in another area around there. So a lot of good things about this young lady. She said she's in health, good health. Things are going well. I believe she's either 11 or 12 years old now. We're just glad that that is going as well as it can. So we'll try to get Bill Rayburn to come and give us an update on that work as well. And then there are other works that we're supporting that maybe we'll try to get Eddie and Madeline Lewis to come back and give us an update on the work at the school and the campus ministry down at Mississippi. That'd be good to get them here also. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we are grateful for another day and grateful for the many, many blessings of life. Grateful that we can come together and worship. Grateful that we have a country where we have this freedom. We pray, Father, that our country will always be free, that we'll always have this privilege, that we'll always be able to worship in this way. We pray for our brethren around the world. Some are being persecuted by religions. Some are being persecuted by governments. We know that sometimes there are just people that are just doing the devil's work, and they just try to hinder our brethren from meeting. But whatever the case, Father, we just pray for our brethren, wherever they might be, that they might be able to let their light shine and bring souls to you. We're thankful for the progress that's made in the Philippines and Nigeria and in other countries. We just know, Father, that great works are going on all over the world. We're thankful for it. Help us to do our part here. Let our light shine to talk to people about the gospel, our friends, our neighbors, our loved ones, relatives, whoever it might be. Help us to do everything we can to influence people for the gospel of Christ. Bless us tonight in our study, we pray in Jesus' name and amen. Tonight I want to turn over to the book of James, James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We're going to begin at verse number 19 of James chapter 1, verse number 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every one of you be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of godliness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For if he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. People have said in regard to most activities, you can divide things in two ways. You can have the theoretical, and you can have the concrete or the practical. I think that's very true in just about every area of life. And certainly that even applies to Christianity. And while some people like to talk solely about the theoretical, we need to talk about the concrete or the practical as well. Someone might say, well, I want to be like Christ. Well, that's fine. That's great. Tell me, in what way? In what way, specifically, in the concrete fashion, do you want to be more like Christ? Certainly not in miracles. You're not going to do that. Certainly not going to die for other people's sins. That can't be. But in attitude and mindset and speech and many other ways, you say, I want to be more like Christ. The book of James has been called the most practical book in the New Testament. Some have compared it to the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament. They said it's the New Testament book of Proverbs. And while that's not exactly true, there are a lot of parallels between Proverbs and James. Edgar A. Guest wrote a poem a long time ago entitled, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I think that's true. That before we can tell people about Christ or about what the Bible says, we have to demonstrate it in our lives. And the way that you live your life, the way I live my life, the way all Christians live, is really the best sermon that's ever going to be preached. When people see Christ living in us, then it wants them to be attracted to us. People will want to say, what is there about your relationship with God, relationship with Christ? What really is there that has changed your life? There are several things that James brings out in this passage, six of them that are very specific, and I want to look at those this evening. First of all, if you look at verse 19, where he says, be swift to hear, be slow to speak, and slow to wrath, what is James really saying? He's really saying that you've got to be in control of yourself. You've got to have self-control. Well, Paul argued before Felix in Acts chapter 24, it says he argued about justice and self-control and the future judgment. I think the King James Version says temperance. That's a very close word to that. It's the same idea that we find when Paul talked about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. He said the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Again, such there is no law. When Peter talked about those great virtues over in 2 Peter chapter 1, they said, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control. Many times we've heard people say, well, I just couldn't help it. I lost my temper and I just couldn't help it. Well, I realize, in fact, everybody's got a breaking point. That's true. But too many times people have used that idea that I have a breaking point at a very low point instead of trying to be in control. Christians need to work on this and be people that have self-control, be people that are slow to speak, slow to wrath, and swift to hear, people that want to be in control of their emotions and of their lives. Now, the second thing that James deals with there, if you look at verse 21, he says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness a grafted word, which is able to save your soul. I want to look at the very first part of that verse. The idea really is, one translation says, a rank growth of wickedness. One says the overflowing of wickedness. It's the idea of sexual loss of control. And it really is the general idea of purity. If you're going to be a Christian, you're going to have to live a pure life. This is something that Christians have almost given up with in our society today. The fact of the matter is, society itself has just gone sexually wild. People just have no sense of propriety, no sense of decency, no sense of modesty. And the fact is, the Bible has so much to say about purity. Paul said in 1 Timothy 4, let no man despise your youth, but be set before the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in faith, in purity. Over in chapter 5 of the same book, Paul told Timothy, keep thyself pure. In Philippians chapter 4, when he talked about things that we are to think about, he says, one of those is whatever things are pure. I realize the fact that when we talk about purity and sexual purity, we are swimming upstream. I realize the fact that if we stand for sexual purity, that we are a very, very small minority. And what has happened, and some preachers are talking about, even in the Lord's church, that you have people that are giving up on purity and morality. That if a couple happens to live together, a mother and father say, well, what can we do about it? There's nothing we can do about it. We might as well just accept it and go on. Or we have situations where people are saying, well, if a couple are living together, we should just accept them into the fellowship, and maybe they'll see along the way, somewhere down the line, that they ought to make a change. Why don't we start with the change first? Start with talking to them about the fact that they are living in sin, and that we love them, we want them to do what is right, we want them to go to heaven, we want them to be like Christ, and to really help them change their life, the situation, and do whatever we can to help maybe pay for an apartment, whatever we've got to do to help that couple to live pure Christian lives. But it seems like, again, many in the church are just saying, well, everybody's going to be doing it, the children are going to be doing it, the schools are advocating it, you know, the government is advocating it, and everybody just seems to be involved in it. Nobody has any concern about purity. And when we talk to people about purity, we look like such oddballs that they give us this view or this look that just says, you're some sort of crazy person. Well, I'll admit, yes, we do look like crazy people if your standard is the world. But if your standard is the Bible, if your standard is the Lord Jesus Christ, if your standard is what we find in Scripture, we are not crazy. We are people who really have our mind set on what is right and what is correct, and not just to say, well, just let it go, whatever the sexual mores of the time are, just let it be. 25, 30 years ago, maybe 40 years ago, people would never have thought that the world would be doing and saying and teaching the things that we find going on in the world today. But it has happened. And people have said, well, you know, you're just living in another time if you think that people are going to wait till they get married for sexual activity. You're just living in another century. Well, I again say it may not be easy. It may be difficult, but we need to teach our children. We need to remind each other. We need to remind every person that we have a standard, and that standard is the Lord Jesus Christ. And while Jesus was never married, that's true, he did set the standard as being pure in his life, and Paul and the other apostles set the standard of being pure in their lives, and we need to stand up for purity as James teaches us here. Now, the third thing they talks about is in verse 21, where he says, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul, the idea of receptivity. And that really is the key to all of these things, is are you receptive in your heart? You know, Jesus talked about the seed and being planted in the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13. In Luke chapter 8, he says the seed is the word of God. And that seed is planted, but that seed can only germinate if you have a heart that is receptive to it. And the only way that heart is going to be receptive is if you plant that seed itself. Now, you might say, well, David, I come to church on Sunday, come Sunday night, come Wednesday night. I get planting three times a week. It's not enough. It's not enough. You've got to plant that word every day. Whether you read a chapter a day, or half a chapter, or two chapters, or whatever you do, you need to keep that word in your heart and in your mind all the time. You need to be so hungry for righteousness, as Jesus said, that you just have a hunger for it. I know it's a very interesting passage over in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. It talks about knowledge of God. And in verse 4, he says, cry for knowledge. He says, as if a man would seek silver. He says, or as one that searches for a buried treasure. What a wonderful idea that you want the knowledge of God as much as one wants silver. Now, we all realize we need to have jobs, we need to work our jobs, we need to have support for our lives, be able to function, that's true. But we need to have that kind of knowledge for the search for the Word of God, that's receptivity. I want it as much as I want silver. Then going in that same verse, he says, receive with meekness the engrafted word. Then again, that is something that when you talk about being meek, the world just says, oh, that's just somebody who's kind of a milquetoast type of guy. Somebody who lets people walk all over him. Somebody who just has no concept of standing up for himself. Somebody who just has no really self-assurance or self-confidence. He's just that meek kind of guy that Clark Kent is. Superman's the hero. He can go out there and rescue people. But Clark Kent is the meek, mild person. He just lets everybody walk all over him. Well, that's not the biblical idea. I realize that's what the world has with meekness, but it's not the biblical idea of meekness. Moses is described as the meekest man in all the earth. Yet Moses didn't let people walk all over him. Paul admonishes us in Ephesians chapter 4 that with all lowliness and meekness, patience, forbearing one another. If you're going to have patience with one another, then you'd have to have meekness and be able to endure that as well. Paul instructed Colossian brothers, he said, put on therefore as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, and patience. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, is what Jesus said. And we need to say, I will be meek. The idea of meekness really is the fact that you realize that God is here. I am here. I'm not above God. I'm not equal with God. I'm not even close to Him. He is here. I am here. And I recognize that fact that He makes the decisions. Whatever He says is what I will do. Whatever He tells me to do is what I will do. There are times when that's hard. When God tells you to forgive somebody, that can be a very, very difficult situation. When the person comes to you and asks for forgiveness and you extend forgiveness, that can be hard. But whatever God says, I will do it because I am below God. He makes the rules. He sets the standard. God is above me. Then also look at verse 22. He said, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. What does he talk about there? He's really talking about being obedient. And again, this is one of these qualities that the world, the religious world, has just kind of pushed to the side. You really don't have to have obedience. That if you just believe in Jesus, or if you just have a good feeling for Jesus, that's all you need. But Jesus is the one who says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's not my rules. That's not the church's rules. That's not Alexander Campbell's rules. That's what Jesus Christ said. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. The writer of Hebrews says he's the author of eternal salvation unto all those who obey him. And even in the Old Testament, it says to obey is better than to sacrifice, 1 Samuel 15:29. But when people say, oh, when you talk about obedience, you're just a legalist. You just want to set up the rules and have people keep rules. You have no heart in it. That's just not true. I can love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, but to love Him means I'm going to obey Him. To love Him means that I am going to listen to what He says. And when I listen to what He says, I'm going to do everything I can to be obedient to that word. And then look at what He says in verse 27. He says, if we pure religion and undefiled before God and Father is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. If I'm really going to demonstrate Christ to the world, I've got to have compassion and charity. Take care of the widows and the orphans. Now, that doesn't mean that you've got to take one into your home directly. A lot of ways that can be done. It can be done through a children's home. It can be done through a particular fund. It can be done through somebody else. You know, I've known a couple of situations where people did take children and adopt them and others help them along the way. That can be done. But the idea certainly is to be looking for ways and means that you can help the needy. That you do what you can. All since the earliest parts of the church, the earliest days of the church, go back to Acts chapter 6. And you see that they were helping the widows in that situation. Jesus said in John Matthew chapter 10, whosoever shall in the name of a disciple give one of these little ones a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say he shall not lose his reward. The idea of showing compassion to people just because it's the right thing to do. Now I know again, people say, well, let the government do it, let other people do it, let this. Well, why can't Christians do it? And we need to do all we can as far as showing compassion for the world around us. Then look at the last thing he says there in verse 27. He says, and to keep yourself unspotted from the world. Love not the world, John says in 1 John chapter 2. We need to keep that in mind, that the world has a standard that we disagree with. The world's standard is basically self. What do I think? What do I have in my mind? What is my view on something? And that's just not the standard. Christ is the standard. We obey Christ because He is the standard. Not us, but He. And when the Bible says we're to keep ourselves unspotted from the world, yes, that may be hard. The world is just doing everything it can to tear Christians down. Again, on most talk shows, when you hear them talk about Christianity, it's some sort of put-down that if you believe in Christ, if you believe in the Bible, if you believe in Bible standards, well, you are just an arrogant person, that you don't have any place in society. There have been even some states where they have proposed, I don't think it's gone through yet, but they have proposed that churches be taxed in a way that's like any business. As I said, it has not happened, but people have that idea, well, we ought to start taxing church. I wonder if they would tax mosques and the Muslims as well. I wonder if they would tax Jewish people in synagogues as well. I wonder if they would tax all the other Eastern religions that have places of worship as well. How are they going to tax them? Nobody's ever talked about that when they talk about taxing people. They just say taxing churches, but shouldn't they tax all people? The fact of the matter is, no matter what may happen, we're going to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. That we're going to love people. We're going to do what we can to uphold the Spirit of Christ. We're going to do everything we can to walk in the light. We're going to teach the truth. We're going to live by the truth. We're going to do everything we can to show people to understand the truth. And thereby, again, the words dwell on a good and faithful servant. I hope and pray all of us will do everything we can to keep these points that James brings out to us. We remember that Christianity is a practical religion. The most practical religion in the world applies to every aspect of life. Let us do what we can to go forth and live these points and more as we live our day-to-day lives. Now we're going to sing our invitation hymn. If you've not obeyed the gospel, we invite you to do that tonight. As a child of God, you realize you have not lived a Christian life. You need to rededicate your life. Want to do that tonight. If you want to just have prayer for a particular need for yourself or somebody else, whatever it might be, however we can help you, either to obey the gospel, to be restored, and have prayer, whatever we can do to help, let us know as we all stand and sing.